Begin the current Tav Masechtas Baba Kama Daf Nun Dalad. Begin on the third line down of the Tav of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion in the previous Daf. That is, the Gemara on the bottom of Amid Beis quoted the Halacha from our Mishnah. If let's say an ox with its kalim, with its utensils, its plow, falls into the pit, or a donkey with its garments, with its saddle cloth, falls into the pit. So regarding the shor and the chamor, that the owner of the pit has liability for. But for the kalim that fell in with the ox or the donkey, that is going to be potter for. So the Gemara said, that's not like Rabbi Huda, with that's a machlikas Tanakama, the Rabbanan, that of our Mishnah and Rabbi Huda. That is, the Rabbanan hold, when it says in the pasuk shor oichamor, why is it specified these two? To exclude other things. Shor tells us v'loi adam, and chamor tells us v'loi kalim. Whereas Rabbi Huda says, no, the word oi is a ribuy to include kalim. Which the Gemara said that the Rabban hold that oi is no, it's not a riboy. You need that to tell you, to differentiate that it's either or, and not that liability will only be if it's both chamor and kalim. Where Rabbi Huda says, no, I know that you don't need both, that it, there is a differentiation and it's enough with one, from the word venafel, which is in the singular, that you don't need both. But the Rabban answered, no, that we find many times the singular, like the word venafel, could include multiplicity, pluralism, as Rashi brings different psukim, that we find that although it says in the singular, it's including other things. And therefore, that's their machlokes regarding if the word ay is a ribuy, like Rabbi Huda says, to include kalim, or like Rabban, that it's not a ribuy, and therefore they actually use chamor, which it says in the pasuk, to say v'loy kalim, to exclude kalim. Now, and that the Gemara continues and says that why is it like either one of them are saying? Actually, we should interpret the pasuk in a totally different way. Ema say as follows. When it says in the pasuk v'nafal, that's a cloud, that's a general statement. It doesn't say what is falling in. It sounds like whatever falls in, there's going to be a liability from the owner of the pit. Now, then when it says what falls in, it says v'nafal shor v'chamor, an ox nor a donkey, well, that's a prat. That's a specific. It's delineating exactly what there's liability for. So that's what's called in halacha klal uprat. You have a general statement, which includes everything, and then you have a prat, you have a specific that's only these things. So the halacha is, ein b'chlal elamash b'prat. This is one of the yugam amidah shatar nidash b'hen, which is that the general statement only includes which is specified, which tells us, shay v'chamar in, that the liability of a pit is only, seemingly, for an ox and a donkey, midach v'niloi, and nothing else. So then the question is, how do we know that all the other things, which we mentioned in the Mishnah, it's not only shay v'chamar, it's all other types of animals, how do we know that? If seemingly, we should say, klal prat. So Hamadei said, no, because Bal Habor Yishalim, when the Pasuk then continues and says that the owner of the pit has to pay, that's Chaz of a Kol. That goes back and says a general statement saying it should pay, seemingly in whatever it is that gets damaged in his pit. So that's a different one of the Yud Gemamidas, one of the different attributes that the Torah has elucidated, which we have Halachal Meshem B'Sinai, of Klal Prat U'Klal. When you have a general statement, a specific, and a general statement, the Halacha is Iyat Adon Elikei Naprat. Then you only Darshanid, you only classify it which is similar to the specific, not only the specific, but which shares the characteristics of the specifics, which tells us, Mahaprat Mefurish Balechaim, just like the specifics that are mentioned, are living animals, which that's what Ashar and the Chamar are, so Afkal Balechaim, anything that's similar to that characteristic, that's a living animal, that's also going to be included in the liability of the owner of the pit, which that's going like Drabbanan. Whereas, according to Rabbi Huda, the word oi, shoy oi chamor, is coming to include even other movable items like kalim, which Rabbi Huda holds are going to be included in the liability. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, wait a second. If you're agreeing that that's how we know this halacha of including all types of animals, and then the only machlokes was, do you darshan oi to include kalim or not? But then, imaha prat mefurish, but let's get down to it. If you're really using a klal prat a klal, and you're saying it has to share the characteristics of the prat, but then there's something else that you missed out. Imaha prat mefurish, but if you're talking about the specific, which is explicit, that it's davar, it's something, meaning a shor and a chamor, shenivlasa mitamba b'mago masa, the dead animal carcass of an ox or a donkey, it transmits tumah by touch or by carrying it. So then, Av Kol Davar, so then seemingly all other things, Shenevlasim Etamba B'maga Mamasa, that it's a dead animal carcass transmits Tumah by touching or carrying, they could be included in the comparison of the Klal Prat HaKlal to be liable for the when that gets injured or it gets damaged in the pit. Avalaifais, but birds, which they do not transmit Tumah when they die by touch or by carrying Loi, seemingly that shouldn't be included in the liability of the pit. Yet we know that all animals, even birds, are included in the liability of the pit. So the Gemara answers, Im Kain. If that would be the case, that as you're asking, that we would only include what's similar to the prat from two characteristics, meaning A, that it's a living animal like it, but moreover that its nevela transmits tumma with maga masa, and therefore you're asking that that should only be other animals but excluding birds. And then the Gemara answers, but if that would be the case, nichtav rechmon l'chad prata, then the Torah should have only written one specific, either ox or donkey. And then we would have compared whatever similar to the prat, meaning the ox or the donkey, which would have told us those two characteristics. One, it's a living animal, and when it dies, its nevela transmits to mu'ud maga masa. Why did it say the other one, whether shar or chamar, the other one, if it has nothing to do to tell us any halacha regarding that its nevela transmits tumma, because that I already know from the klal of if I only said one of the pratim, must be why did I say not just shar, but I also said, let's say, chamar, it's coming to include something else, to include even birds that are similar to shar and chamar, only in one characteristic, not in two, and that it's a living animal, although it does not transmit tumma when it dies, with maga masa. Now Rashi points out that at this point the Gemara could have asked that if you're telling me that you needed shor and chamor, because you're saying if it only said one, I would have thought you only include, let's say, other animals, but not birds. That's when you need the other one to say, hey, why am I saying two, to include something else, which only shares one characteristic, then where are we going to exclude adam from? The whole way we knew that a person, when he falls in and he dies, there's no liabilities, because you know from shor b'le adam. But now you tell me you need shor and you need chamor to tell us that we include aif. So how do you know to exclude adam? So Rashi says, you're right, that it would be a good question, but the Gemara just is involved in trying to figure out how do you know that not only other animals, but even birds are going to be included until it finishes that whole discussion, and then we'll see actually that the shor v'chamor are superfluous to be utilized to exclude adam and to exclude kelim. But the Gemara asks, however, on the Gemara's answers. The Gemara's answer was, no, of course birds are going to be included, because if it was only those that share both characteristics, like other animals, then it should have said either shar or only chamar. Why did it say both? To include even if it only shares one characteristic, like birds. And then the Gemara asks, hai nichtav, that's not true. Which one are you telling me it should have written, and therefore by saying that the other one is extra to include oif? Ikas of shar, had the Torah only written the liability of the bird by when an ox falls in, I would have thought to say, karv l'gab mizbeach in, something that has a higher status, which an ox is something that can be brought on the mizbeach, that is where there's a liability if it gets killed. Shein the karv l'gab mizbeach loy, but I would have thought to say, maybe something that cannot be sacrificed on the mizbeach, that's not included in the liability of a bar. That's why it has to say chamar, which is a donkey, which cannot be brought on the mizbeach, to say even those type of animals are going to be included. Because rachman l'chamar, and had the Torah only written a donkey that there's a liability, I would have thought to say, Kaddish bebechayra in, only something that's sanctified with the sanctity of the firstborn animal, which is unique about chamar, although it's a non-kosher animal, there is a halacha that it has the halacha of bechayr, which you have to give the aseh in place of the donkey, or you have to cut off the donkey's head. So donkey has a higher status in regards to being considered as a bechayr. She'ain kaddish bebechayra loy, but something that does not have the sanctity of the firstborn, I would have thought to say that there's not going to be a liability even if it's an animal when it falls into a pit. So for example, let's say horses and camels, I would have thought that they're excluded from the liability of a bar. That's why the Torah writes shur, which wasn't necessary because you already knew that from the klal of comparing to chamar, because shur is also something that's a firstborn animal. Must be why we say shar, to include even other types of animals which are neither brought on the mizbeach and neither have the sanctity of the firstborn, like camels and horses. Now, the reason why they're included is because at least they share the common characteristics with both shar and chamar on two aspects. A, that they're living animals, and also that their dead animal carcasses transmit tumma. But ask the Gemara regarding birds that only share one characteristic, that they're living animals, but they don't have the tumma of nevela, then seemingly they should not be included in the comparison to shor v'chamor that we had said, write only one. We're saying you can't be write only one. You needed both to tell you other types of animals. But who said that now you have anything extra to tell us that eif is included, that birds are included? So El Rav, the Gemara says, that don't say that the pasuk was coming at the end to be chazav a kol, meaning to say that the extra terminology at the end was making it the klal, prat, and klal. Rather, says the Gemara, Amakro, what the pasuk is saying is, v'hamesi eloi. It says that the dead thing should be for him, which is, the drasha is that it's for the nizik, it's for the one who got damaged, meaning he has to hold on to that. But one thing we see is, kol devar misa, anything that dies, the pasuk is incorporating into the liability of the balabar, which that includes oif. So therefore, we don't need shayr and chamor to tell us different types of animals now. No, we know oif, we know everything, and therefore shayr and chamor are extra to darshan v'loy adam and v'loy kelim, as that's the halacha that Rabban hold. But rather, how do we know even oif, a bird? Is because it says Ramesi Eloi, which comes to tell us anything that dies will have the halacha of the liability of the balabar. Nothing more asked, however, now if that's the source for this halacha. So the Gemara asks, Bein l'Rabbanan. So now the question is, whether according to the Rabbanan, the Kamimaitu Luhu L'Kelem, which they exclude the halacha of Kelem for being liable, because Chamar they learn below Kelem. Or Bein l'Rabbihuda, or even according to Rabbihuda, the Kamar Luhu L'Kelem, that as we learned on the top of this amen from the word Oi, he says an extra word which comes to include the liability of the bar for vessels that break over there. Now the question is, Kelem b'nei misininu? Are utensils things that could die? In other words, why, according to Rabbanan, do you need a pasuk of chamor to exclude the liability for kelim? And why, according to Behuda, do you need, how could you include from the word oi, the liability for kelim? But it has to be, as we just learned out, that's the source for all animals and for oif, has to be something that could be vahames yaloi, something that dies. Now, kelim are not living things, they don't die, so how could there be liability? And why would you need a pasuk, according to Rabbanan, to exclude the liability if it's not even included, vahames yaloi? So nothing more says, Amri, they said, Shvirasan zuhi misasan. The breaking of the vessel is its death. That is the definition of the death of a utensil where it has no utility anymore, just like a person or an animal that dies. That's the same thing, which is the breaking of the vessel. Now, therefore, the Rabbanan needed the word chamar in the Torah to exclude it. And the reason for that exclusion is because you're right, it's not a real death. It's just, it has that similarity to what death is for the keli. And sure, they used to exclude Adam. The reason why sure excludes Adam is because it's not even the same species as a sure and a chamar, because it's not an animal. Now, had the Torah only written one, then we would have used that one to exclude Adam, because it's not a min behema, but it wouldn't have excluded Kalim. And the reason being is because when you're going to be excluding from sure or chamar, then you would exclude another living thing like it to say that it's only this type of living thing, but not this type of living thing. That's why they need another word in the Torah of chamar to exclude Kalim. Whereas according to Behuda, he uses the word oi to include kelim, even though it's not literally something that dies, but again, it's still called shvirasan zuhi misasan. And shar he uses to exclude adam, because you're going to exclude another living thing which is similar, but by specifying types of animals, is excluding a human, which later on the Gemara is going to ask, okay, so what did Behuda do with the word chamar? Because he's not using it to exclude kelim, because he actually includes kelim in the word oi. What does he use with the word chamar? Now the Gemara asks, Ula Rav, but according to Rav, that we've mentioned his opinion on previous dafim, Dama that he says, Barisha Chayav Alav Torah, that the liability that the Torah made on a person that has a pit, which damages something, is Lahav Loi B'loi L'Chavata, it's because he created this foul air, and not for the bang. It's not the ground, that whatever animal dies in it, is not his liability, because it's not his ground. It's the fact that he created this foul air, that's what kills the animal. So the question is, Bein l'Rabban and Bein l'Behuda, how do we understand? Kelim b'nei havlininu? Whether there is a liability like a Behuda, or that you need a pasuk to exclude the liability like the Rabbanan, what does that mean? The Kelim don't have hevel, foul air, affecting it. An animal, a person that falls in, it can cause that, whatever the air affects them as they're falling in, but a Keli, how could that affect it? How do we understand the liability regarding Kelim? So they said, yes, b'chaditi, by new utensils, the mifki mahavlo, where they could shatter, they could break from different type of air that it gets exposed to, and that's where Rav would explain the halacha of the inclusionary, or the need for exclusionary, of kelim, because it could be included in the destruction of this hevel. Now the Gemara asks, however, based on the whole answer we just gave before, haiva meisi alai, this that we said that the source to include all living animals, even birds, is from this pasuk of amesi alai, whatever dies will be included in the liability. But the Gemara asks, but you need that pasuk for a different drasha, that of Rava. The Rava says, as we mentioned this in the previous dafim, sherp suli hamakdashim, regarding an ox that was a carbon, but it developed a blemish, and therefore it was redeemed, and now somebody owns it. It's now owned by an individual, by a commoner. If such an animal, shenafa labar, that falls into a pit, the halacha actually is patur. The owner of the pit is exempt. Why? Shenema, like it says in the pasuk, Vamis Yeloi, that the dead animal will be for the nizik, the damaged party. He takes the dead animal and then he uses it for whatever value is still left, and now it's a dead animal. And then the rest that was lost from the value is compensated by the mazik. Says Rava, the drasha tells us, Bemisha Meshaloi, it's only the liability of the balabar by a victim that he can use the corpse, the dead animal carcass. That excludes this case where the dead animal is not his, meaning he can't use it for whatever he wants to, because as the Gemara in Bukhari tells us in the Tezvah Medalev, regarding Psul HaMikdash, after it's redeemed, the Torah tells us what you could use it for. The Torah says, Tizbach, you could slaughter it, but you can't share the wool. Basar, but not the milk. Vachat, you could eat it, you cannot take the carcass and give it to your dogs, so you can't do anything with the dead animal, and therefore it's not included in B'misha Meshalai. So ask the Gemara, how could you say V'amesi Eloi is included to tell you anything that dies to include all animals and birds, but you needed to tell you a different halacha of excluding Shrei B'Shul HaMikdashim? So El Rav, the Gemara says you're right. Amakra, we learn from a different pasuk. The pasuk says, in that pasuk actually, it says, Kesev Yashav Lebalav. The money he should return to its owners. Meaning, the Torah tells us, Bala Bar Yishalim, the owner of the pit has to pay. Kesev Yash Levalov, the money he returns to the owner, Vamesi Eloi, and the dead animal is his, the Nizik's. But what we learn from the pasuk of Kesev Yash Levalov is Lerabbis called this Leibalim, comes to include anything that has an owner. That terminology is saying that return it to its owners to say anything that has an owner, meaning to say anything that falls into the pit that's owned by someone else, there's liability. Now, if that's the case, I feel a keli ba'adam nami, then there should be liability even for a person or for a keli. On that amakra, that's what the pasuk comes to tell us. Sure, when it specifies an ox, it's to tell you v'loy adam, not a person, which is not a type of an animal. And chamar v'loy kelim, when it specifies a donkey, is to say, but not kelim. Now, on that the Gemara asks, that's the opinion of the Rabbanan. But only Rabbi Huda do kamar b'lehu lekelim, but according to Rabbi Huda, that includes kelim from the word oi. So Bishlam is Shari Mimai Be Adam. So why is it specify ox? To exclude an Adam. He agrees that if a person falls and dies, the owner of the pit is exempt. El Chamor Mai Mimai Be, but what's he using to exclude from the extra terminology of donkey? So El Marava, rather Rava concludes, you're right. Chamor de Bar, Rabbi Huda, the word of Chamor, by the Mazik of Bar, according to Rabbi Huda, and the Seda Vedal, Divya Koil, and the terminology of sheep, regarding a lost object, according to all opinions. And that is because there's a question. The pasuk says, regarding returning a lost object, it says, L'chol aveid sechicha, for all the lost objects of your brother. Now, if it already includes everything, why does the Torah then specify chamor, a donkey, a shur, an ox, a seh, a sheep, a salma, a cloth? Now, the Gemara in El Metzius expounds all of them, why you needed all those other terminologies, except for seh, which the Gemara says, Kasha, those two terminologies in the Torah are difficult. It's not clear what they're coming to tell us. Meaning Rabbi Huda's term of Chamor, and so according to all opinions, what is it coming to teach us? Now the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our Mishnah. The Mishnah continued and said, Nafla teich esher cheresh sheite bekatan. If into a pit falls an ox, deaf, mute, mentally deranged, minor, chayiv, then it's going to be a liability. So the Gemara explains, my sher cheresh sheite bekatan. What does it mean, those words in the Mishnah, when it says that there is a liability of the ox, deaf, mute, mentally deranged, and a minor? And that is because there's two different ways you can explain that. Ilay mishar shel cherish, if he's saying it's talking about an ox of a deaf mute, shar shel shayta an ox of a mentally deranged, or shar shel katan an ox of a minor, to tell you that's where the owner of the pit's going to be liable. Now the inference would sound like, her shar shel bekeach pater, but the ox of an intelligent person, if that ox falls into a pit, then the owner of the pit's going to be exempt? Where do we find that the pasuk gives an exemption of an ox, of a regular person, that it falls into a pit, and then there he's going to be exempt, and that is only liable for the ox of a person that doesn't have das? So Amar Yechani says, no, it's not an ox of a cheresh sheite b'katan. It's shor shehu cheresh. It's an ox that is deaf-mute. Shor shehu sheite, an ox that's mentally deranged. Shor shehu katan, an ox that is a minor, that's still immature. Now, as we continue on to Medbeis, the Gemara still asks, so what are you telling me? Hashershu bekeach pater? What? So, but an intelligent ox, if it falls into the pit, then the owner of the pit is going to be exempt? Why should the owner be exempt when it's an intelligent ox that falls in? So Amar Birmi says, no, you're right. Let me buy a comma. we didn't have to say regarding shor that's a bekeach. In other words, lo mibayir shor shebekeach dechayv. Of course, if a regular ox falls into a pit, of course the owner of the pit is going to be liable because he had a mazik that was here that is going to break things or injure things that are walking by in the street. Of a shor cheresh shor to be cotton, but I would have thought an ox that does not have das. Ema, I would think cheresh or gamaloi. You know what caused it to fall into the pit? Not because the pit is a dangerous thing. It's because that the ox is a deaf mute. That's what caused it, because it doesn't have intelligence. Katnusa gramalai, its immaturity is what caused it. And therefore, the lifter, and therefore actually the owner of the pit should be exempt, because it's not the pit that caused it. It's the ox that has its own deficiency that caused it to fall in, because it doesn't know the way of the land. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush in saying that even a shor that's cheresh to be katan is going to be chayiv, but of course a shor that's bekeach is going to be chayiv. Now that the Gemara asks, I'm Ravach Ravina, he says, but Vatanya, learn the Brisa that says, Nafala Techer Bardas Potter, if an intelligent one falls into the pit, then the owner of the pit is going to be exempt. My love, shor Bardas, isn't it told about an ox that has intelligence that it is exempt? Not like you're saying that for sure it's going to be chayiv. Amalei says, no, loy. Adam, it's someone, a person that has intelligence, there we know the halacha is that the owner of the pit is going to be exempt. Now, the question is, Elmiata, but if that's the case, you tell me Adam ben Dasu de Potter, a person that has intelligence is going to be exempt? Halav ben Dasu de Chayiv? But if let's say the person does not have intelligence, then the owner of the pit is going to be Chayiv? But Shervele Adam Ksiv, but how do we know there's no liability by a person? Because it says the term Sher, which tells us, and not a person. That means any person, even a person without intelligence. So how can you say that when it says in the Braisa that if a bar das falls in, this exempt is on the person? Sounds like, but if he doesn't have das, it's chayev. But why? Shervele Adam tells us any person. So Elamai ben das answers the Gemara. No, what does it mean when it says that if a ben das falls in, the owner is exempt? It means min ben das, from the species that has intelligence, which refers to the human being. Where yes, even if that person is himself mentally deranged, but he comes from the species that have intelligence, which are humans, and that's what the Braisa means to say that Sher B'lo Adam tells us that there's going to be an exemption. But regarding Sher, of course, that the owner would be Chayev. On that, the Gemara asked Amalei, but he said to him, Batanibul, and the Braisa clearly, Nofala Toiche Sher Ben Das Potter, that if an ox that has intelligence, the owner of the pit is going to be exempt. So Elmer Rava, rather, Rava says, you're right. When the Mishnah said, Shor b'hu cheresh, an ox that is a deaf mute. Shor b'hu shayit, an ox that is mentally deranged. Shor b'hu katan, an ox that's a minor. It's dafka. It's specifically those cases that the owner of the pit is going to be chayav. Avos shor b'hu bekeach potter. But you're right. An ox that is intelligent and falls into the pit, the owner of the pit is going to be exempt. My time, what's the reason? Because the ox should have looked where it's going and then walked. It didn't look because, look, it walked right into a pit. Therefore, that's not the liability of the owner of the pit. He didn't cause it. The ox itself caused it by not being careful. And that's why there's actually an exemption on the Sher Ben Das in regards to the liability of a pit. Tana Mehochi, similar to Nebraisa. Nafala Teicher Sher Cheresh Shreit of a cotton. If let's say an ox that, these cases that's a Cheresh Shreit or a cotton, or Vesuma, or if it's blind, or Mahalach Balayla. Or even if let's say it's an intelligent ox, but it's walking at night where it cannot have seen where it's going. So then chayiv, then the owner of the pit is going to be liable because you can't say that it's the ox that caused it. The ox didn't cause it, either because it doesn't have intelligence, or because it's blind, or because it's nighttime that no one could see, and therefore it's not its own fault. But pekeach mahalach b'yom, but if it's intelligent and it's walking during the daytime and it falls into the pit, then the owner of the pit is going to be putter, is going to be exempt, because it's the fault of the ox, not the fault of the owner of the pit. Now the Gemara continues in the related discussion from the previous Mishnah, which we spoke about, Shur vechamor, which Shur tells us v'loi Adam, chamor tells us v'loi Kalim, but yet we said that actually all animals are included in the liability of the pit, as we learned on Amud Aleph. So on that theme, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Echad shur ve'echad kol behema, whether an ox or whether all animals, are all included in the following 8 halachas. L'nefilas habar, for when they fall into a pit, as we explained on Amud Aleph, where we learned that includes all animals, the liability for the pit. U'lafrashas har Sinai, which was by Har Sinai when they came to receive the Torah. The Torah says, "In behema im ish, if any animal or any person comes to touch the mountain, then they're going to die." Now, on that we include even non-domesticated animals, I mean chayas, and birds, as the Gemara will teach us, as the Mishnah concludes, that this includes not just shur, but all animals and all wild animals and birds, which they had to be separated from touching Har Sinai. and ula teshlumi kefil, regarding the halacha of theft. When someone steals something and then he's caught, then he has to pay not just the principal but even double that amount. So although the Torah writes mishorv at chamar, from an ox till a donkey, all animals and wild animals are included, as the Gemara brings, and the same thing applies to all these different things. Even if they don't specify all animals, the Gemara will teach from drashas how we know that it includes all animals, all wild animals and bird life. Ula shavas aveda, and for the obligation of returning a lost object. Leprika, for the responsibility, as the Torah says in Shemayis Chaf Gimel, azev tazev imo, a person has to help unload an overwhelmed animal that's carrying packages. Lechasima, regarding the prohibition of muzzling an animal while it's plowing. Leklayim, for, and klayim actually has two elements of prohibited mixtures of animals. One is regarding mating. Although the pasuk says, behem tuchel lo yisabi klayim, you're not supposed to mate with different mixtures of animals. So although it says behemo, which is domesticated animals, includes even chaya and oif, as the Gemara will teach us. The same thing regarding another element of klayim, which is klayim of when they're working together, where the pasuk says, you're not supposed to plow with an ox and a donkey together, although there it only says an ox and a donkey. Again, that includes all animals and all wild animals and so on. Ula Shabbos, and for the halacha of Shabbos, which is that one's not allowed to have his animal work on Shabbos, which is called Shvi'is Behemtoi, it includes all animals. And v'chein chayev v'oiv kayitzben, and not only all animals, but even wild animals and bird life too. Imkein, lomen nemesher chamor, so why does it say in these halachas an ox or a donkey? Says the mission, because the Torah talks about things that are commonplace, where it's common for people to work or to have all these elements of an ox or a donkey. That's where the Torah speaks about them. Or like Kabbalistically, actually, because the Torah talks about them in the common form, that's why in our reality that those are the common form of animals. But in Halacha, it includes, as the Gemara will bring drashas for them, actually all different types of animals. So the Gemara begins to explain all the Halachas. L'nefila sabar, regarding the halacha of an animal falling into a pit and then the owner of the pit being liable, as we brought in Oman Aleph, the pasuk says, Kesef Yashab Lava Aleph Ksiv. It says that the owner should return, the pit has to give the money back to the owner, meaning of whose thing got damaged in his pit, which called this Leibailam, which comes to tell us that whatever has owners, Kedamaran, like we said in Oman Aleph, which includes all animals, including birds and whatnot. Now, Lafrash is Har Sinai. Regarding separating the animal from Har Sinai, the pasuk in Shemay says, "Im behema im ish lo yichya." If an animal or if a man will touch Har Sinai, they will not live. Now, v'chay b'chlal behema havya. Although it used the terminology behema, which generally connotes domesticated animal, that actually includes wild animals too. As the Gemara Chulin tells us, the pasuk says in Dvarim Yedalad, "Zaysa behema asher toichlu." These are the behemas that you could eat. And what does it say afterwards? An ayil and a tzvi, which are chayas. So you see that although a deer is a chaya, is included in the terminology of behema, so therefore when it says regarding the hafrash of Har Sinai, the behema, it includes chayas too. And the word im, if, is an extra word. You should just say, it says im behema, im ish. That's l'rabba, says oif, is that comes to include birds. So you see that the chaya and oif are also included in all the animals being separated by Har Sinai. L'tashlumi kefil, regarding the halacha of the liability of paying kefil, double the amount for what was stolen. Like we say later on, the Mesamech Beis Mabeis, the pasuk says, al kol dvar pesha, for anything that's a negligence, which that's a klal, it's a general statement, to tell you, kol dvar pesha, anything that's a negligence, even regarding something that doesn't have a living life, as the Gemara says in Perek Meruba, again later on, the Mesamech Beis Mabeis, which includes, therefore, not only the animals that are mentioned over there, but even all animals and all other things of negligence. La Shavas Aveda, regarding returning a lost object, pasuk in Devarim says, L'chala vedas achicha, for all the lost items of your brother, which again includes all lost things, therefore includes all types of animals. Leprika, for the obligation of unloading the overwhelmed animal. Yolav chamar, chamar mishabes, that we know from Gzeirah Shavah, it says the word chamar by the mitzvah of Azav Tatzav Imoy. And it also says the term chamar by Shabbos, where it says in Devarim, hey, shercha v'chamarcha v'chol behemtucha, that they shouldn't work on Shabbos. So just like over there, as we're going to say, all animals are included in the Issa of Shviz behemtoy, so therefore the word chamar here also tells us that all animals are included in the mitzvah of Prika. Lechasima, the prohibition of muzzling an animal while it's working. How do we know it includes to all animals? Yolav shercha mishabes. We learn that it says the word shar ox by chasim, it says the word ox by Shabbos. And again, as we're going to explain, just like over there it's all animals, also over here it's all animals. Leklayim, regarding the prohibition of mixed animals, so again, as we said before, there's two types. Eklayim de charisha, if regarding the prohibition of plowing with two different types of animals at the same time, that yol of shar shar mishabbos. That we know where it says the word shar by that prohibition of Shar v'chamor yach, that we're not allowed to plow with them together, it says the word shar also by Shabbos, which again, over there it's all animals, here is also all animals. And he climbed the harva, and if it's talking about the prohibition of mating two different animals, that yolof behemtucha, behemtucha mishabbos, that we learn now, it says the word behemtucha by the prohibition of mating two different animals, it says the word behemtucha by Shabbos. And again, as the Gemara will later explain, just like over there, it's chai and oif and all the animals are included, here also it's all animals included in the prohibition of mating different animals. Now the Gemara asks regarding the last halacha, which we're learning at other halachas from it. Now, v'gabi Shabbos menolan, how do we know regarding the halacha of shvisis behemtoy, of not letting your animal work on Shabbos, that includes all animals? The time like we learned in the Braisa. V'yesi eimim b'shirmer b'shmo. B'dibris t'rishayinus nemar. There were two different luchas that were given. The first one were broken, shivas batamas. Then the other ones were given, yom kippur. So by the first luchas, by the first 10 statements, it says in the pasuk, the way it's written in Shemais, it says, regarding the mitzvah of Shabbos, it says, Avducha v'amascha v'amtecha, your slave, your maidservant, and your animal. Now, it doesn't say over there, specifying shar and chamar. But in the last luchas, in Sefer Devarim, it says, it adds on, v'sharcha v'achamarcha v'chol behemtecha, your ox and your donkey and all your animals, they can't do work on Shabbos. Now, v'aloi shor v'achamar, but ultimately, ox and donkey, they also were b'chlal kol behema hayu. They're included in the next words. It says, v'sharcha v'chamarcha v'chol behemtecha. So, v'lamayatsu, why were they excluded? Why were they specified? If the next words right after says, v'chol behemtecha, all your animals, why specify sharcha v'chamarcha? L'amilcha, it's coming to tell you that ma shar v'chamaru amakan, it's coming to tell you a teaching, a lesson, which is, just like over here, where although it says, the ox and the donkey, chay v'oif kayyitza behen, all wild animals and all bird life are the same. The Gemara later on will explain how do you know that actually it includes chay v'oif and all animals. And that's because from the word of v'chol, which is mashma like a ribui. V'chol behemtecha, all your animals, which including everything. So although it's saying chamor and shar, but the pasuk is telling you it applies to all animals, sa'af koil. So it's coming to tell you, so to everywhere, wherever it says shar and chamor, for example, like the mitzvah prika and chasima and all those which are similar to that, it's coming to tell you chayva of kayetzbehem, that there the halacha would be that, as we learned from the Gezer Shava, to tell you it would include all wild animals and all bird life too. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this limud that we're saying that regarding shvisa behemta, it includes all animals. That's actually where we know a lot of halachas from Shabbos. Now the Gemara asks why. Ema say as follows. Behema de dibris rishaynois klal. The first time it mentions this halach of shvisa behemta in the first luchas and sefer shemais, it uses a general statement of behema. So that should be what's called the klal. Then shercha v'chamercha de dibris ha'achorinus prat. Then the next time it mentions it, by the second luchas and sefer devarim, it specifies, which is a prat, of shar and chamar. Klalu prat, that should be a general statement and a specific. And that, we know the halacha is, im b'chlal el ma'ashe b'prad, so the general statement only includes what's in the specific, which shor v'chamor in, therefore the halacha of shvisa behemta should only be for an ox and a donkey, midachrin yalai, and actually should not apply to any other halachas. So therefore, actually, all those others which are being learned from Shabbos, even Shabbos, why would you say it's including all animals? It should actually only be for shor v'chamor. So I mean, they said, no, v'chol behemtucha de dibra sa'achrayinois, when it then continues in the last luchos, that it says, and all your animals, it goes back and then says a general statement. So that's what's called the klal prat of klal. General statement, specific, and a general statement. So that's iatadon el ke'en haprat. So then you qualify only what's similar to the characteristic of the specific, which is mahaprat mefurish balechaim, just like that which was specified, shar and chamar, are living animals, afkal balechaim, so to all living animals, and that's how we know all animals, and that's how we know the other halachas, aprika and chasima, all of them are learned out from Shabbos, because Shabbos, as we see, includes all animals. Now, ask the Gemara, but Ve'ema say, wait a second, you have to really be specific and have all the characteristics of the specifics. Maha prat mefurish, but then if you look at it, regarding the specific of Shur and Chamar, they're specified that davar, there are things, shenivlasim etamba b'magamasa, their dead carcasses transmit tumma by touch and with caring. So then I should only be able to tell you, I've called davar shenivlasim etamba b'magamasa, that only things that also when they die, their carcasses will transmit tumma through maga masa are included in the prohibition of shvisa behemtoy, and hence for all those other halachas that we're learning from Shabbos. Avol oivois loy, but regarding birds, I wouldn't know because a bird does not transmit tumma b'maga masa when it dies. Amr, they said no. Imkain, if that would be the case, and this parallels the discussion on Amen Aleph, nichtav rechmon echad prata. Then the Torah should have written only one specific, And then it would have expounded, meaning either one, either Shor or Chamar, that whatever similar to it in both characteristics, which is, again, that it's a living thing and that it transmits some B'maga Masa when it dies. Why did it say the other one? Must be that if it's not telling you something regarding that its Nevela is transmits Tumma, it's coming to tell you that to include even something else that only shares one characteristic, which includes a bird, which is a living animal like it, even though it does not transmit Tumma, B'maga Masa. That's how you know that includes even Eifes, because then you should have only said one. Why do you say both? To include birds. I'm not thinking of a response, no. Hi, Nefta Brachmona. Which one are you telling me the Torah should have only written and saying that, oh, the second one is superfluous to include birds? Ikas Brachmona, sure, had the Torah only written the ox, Havamina, Kravlegam Mizbech in. I would have thought to say the halacha only applies to that more chashva animal, for example, like an ox, which could be sacrificed on the Mizbech. She'in the Kravlegam Mizbech loy, but an animal that cannot be brought on the Mizbech, I would have thought is not included in the halacha of Shviza Behemtai. That's what Torah writes, donkey, even though it's not brought as a carbon, to tell you that even other animals could be included in the halacha, but not birds, just other animals that I would not have known. Because the Rachman Lechamar had the Torah only written donkey, Havamina Kaddish B'Bechari in, I would have thought only animals that are sanctified with the sanctity of the firstborn, which is what a donkey is, Shein Kaddish B'Bechari Lai, but other animals like horses and camels that don't have the Kaddish B'Bechari would not be included. So Kaddish Rachman Lechamar, so that's where Torah writes ox, which is not necessary, because an ox is also something that gets the sanctity of the firstborn, and you would already know it from Chamar. So therefore, why do you say Shur too, to include other animals like horses and camels, which are similar at least in two characteristics? One is Nevela transmits Toma, and it's a living animal. But again, how do I know Eifais? How do I know birds? You said you know it from the extra term of either Shur or Chamar. It's not extra. You need it, because you would not have known all animals are included if you didn't say both. Tell the Rav, the Gemara concludes, V'chol behemtecha, when the Torah says Shurcha v'chamercha v'chol behemtecha, and all your animals, Ribu Yehu. That word v'chol is an inclusionary term, and therefore you're right, we're not expounding it in a klal and prat. Rather, that word v'chol behemtecha is not chaz of a kol, because then you're right, you would not include the halacha of aif. Rather, it's saying all your animals, everything, meaning even a bird. Now that the Gemara asks, v'chol hecha the kas v'chamon a kol ribu Yehu. Are you telling me that wherever the Torah writes kol, all, it's an inclusionary term, including all things that are similar, and that you're not going to utilize it, as we had been asking the question, as a chaz of a kol, as part of a klal prat, the klal? Because that's where that v'chol behemtecha is. It was after the klal and prat, and then said v'chol behemtecha, which we thought, okay, that's a klal prat, the klal. You're telling me, no, it's a ribuy, and therefore it's including even birds. But v'agabe meiser, but we find regarding the halacha of meiser, sheni, where the chziv kol, there the Torah used the word kol, all, and we do utilize it in the medium of a drasha of one of the Yigal Midas of Kalab Prat. The town like Linda Braisa. The passing in the Varm says, the halach is Meister Shein, you have to bring him to Yerushalayim. And then the Torah tells us, and you give the money for whatever your heart's desire is, that you could use the money to spend it during Yerushalayim. Now, that's a klal, that's a general statement. Sounds like you could use it to buy whatever you want. Now, but then the pasuk continues, says, Babakar or Batsoin, Bayayin, Beshecher. With cattle, with flock, with wine, with beer, prat, that's already specifics. It's already talking about things that are consumed. Now, b'chol asher tish'olcha nafshecha, then when the pasuk continues and says, that and whatever your heart's desires, well then chaz v'kol, it goes back and it's a general statement again, whatever you want to buy. So that's what's called klal prat the klal, general statement, specific, a general statement. So it tells us the b'raisa, iyat adon elikin prat. So you have to qualify things that are similar to the specific. Which tells us, ma prat mefurish, just like those four things that were specified are explicit that they are pre-mipri, they're produce of produce, meaning a child is born from a previous child, wine comes from grapes, beer comes from dates. In other words, they come from something else that itself was created, which excludes mushrooms and truffles and water and salt, which they're not a pre from a pre. They don't come, they're not born from something previously. And the second characteristic that they share is that v'giduli karkar, there are things that grow from the ground, which wine and beer definitely grow from the ground, and even cattle and flock, they grow because they eat from the ground, which excludes fish. Fish do not get their nourishment from the ground, which they cannot be purchased with meiser sheni money. Says the Braisa, afkol pri mipri v'gedula karka, so too, anything that's a pri from a pri and grows from the ground, that can be purchased with meiser sheni money. Now, but one thing the Gemara is asking is that you see that last statement says, uv'chol ashet tesholchol nafshecha, that you're using it in the form of a klal prat and a klal. But why? We just said before, when you use the term kol, it's a ribuy. So why is it being used in the klal prat the klal when it should just be ribuy, including anything that you want to buy? So I mean, they said, to answer the question, bechol klala. As that pasuk of the Braisa is talking about, uvechol, that in everything, that's a general statement. But koel ribuya. But when we said in our pasuk v'chol behem techa, not ubechol, not an in, but rather koel, that's a riba that includes everything, and that's why that's the difference. There it's used as a klal because it's ubechol. Here it's v'chol and all and everything. Everything, not in everything, is a ribuy. Or ibay sema, or another approach the Gemara says, if you want, you could say that actually, no, kol namik lalohu, that even, not ubechol, but even v'chol, just koel, everything, could be used in a klal prat klal. Miyu, however, high kol dahacha, but the kol over here, in our halacha, must be ribuyuhu, must be including everything, and not just being used in a klal prat klal. Why? From the fact that it should have, and it would have been a klal in its own right, it could have just written, because it said behem techa, which was a klal, then it said shevachamer, which a prat, and then it says uvechol behem techa, and all your animals. Why? To be used as a klal, it could have just written uvehem techa, and your animals, which would have been a general statement in regards to the iser of shvisa behem techa, instead of using a specifics. Actually, that's the way it was written in the first luchas, which we said was a klal. But still, v'chosav v'chol behem techa, but it doesn't just say behem techa, it says, and all your animals. Obviously here it's not being used as a klal, because we could have had the halacha for this specific of shvisa behem techa, where the klal is all animals, the specifics are what type of animals, and it didn't just say behem techa, it says v'chol behem techa, that and all are coming to include all types, which again tells us not just behema, but even chaya, and even oif. And again, therefore, we say that now we know from Gzeira Shava all the other types, which says shebechamar, we know them from the halach of shvisa behem techa. But now the Gemara asks, hash da amrit kol ribuyuhu, but now that you say that the word v'chol behem techa, and all your animals, which is an inclusionary term which includes even birds, so then the question now becomes, so okay, originally we thought behem techa is the klal, shar v'chol rechamar is the prat. Then b'chol v'hem techa is a klal. So we knew what we were using those words for. But now that we don't need those words to include anything, because we know everything already from v'chol v'hem techa, so behem techa de dibris rishayin, so now the word, your animals, in the first luchas, v'shar v'chamar de dibris achrayin, and the terminology of ox and donkey from the last luchas, lomali, what do you need it for? Why does the Torah have to specify behema, shar v'chamar, if you already know from the word v'chol v'hem techa, including everything, even including birds? So I mean, they said, exactly. It exactly fits into what we were saying up until now. Amri, shur, why does it say shur? La gemuri, shur lachasima. It's actually extra to teach the Gzeira Shava from the halacha of chasima, which also used the word shur, to tell you, just like over here, it's all animals, there also, where it only uses shur, it comes to include all animals. Chamor, why does it specify donkey? Like mur, chamor, chamor la prika, to teach the halacha by prika, by unloading the animal, which should also use the word chamor to tell you that's not just the donkey, but even all animals, like by Shabbos. And behem techa, when it says behem techa by the first luchas, lagmur behem techa l'klayim, it's coming to teach halacha by klayim, which just like over there by klayim, it says behem techa, and here by Shabbos it says behem techa. Just like over here by Shabbos, it's all animals, there also by klayim, forbidden mixtures of animals, it's including all animals. Now, however, the Gemara asks, ihachi, if that's the case, that the halacha of klayim, which is that it's all animals, forbidden mixtures, you learn that from Shabbos, then even a person should be forbidden to draw a wagon together with an animal, because by halachas of Shabbos, a person is forewarned just like an animal, because that's what the pasuk says. Va'avdecha v'amaschcha behem techa. So it compares regarding the halacha of shvisa, of not doing work, of an animal, together with the shvisa of a human. So if we're learning a klayim from there, so the forbidden mixture should tell us not just of animals, but even a person with animals. So Aloma Tanan, why do we learn the Mishnah Masechet Klayim that says, Adam Mutrim Kulan Lachrish V'Limshach, a person is permitted to plow and to draw a wagon together with animals. Why? Shouldn't it be Klayim with a person and animals, just like the Isser Shvisa, which we learn out from Behem Techa, includes humans and animals? So Amar Papa, he says, Papanoi, the people of Papanoi, which is the name of a place, Yadi Taimidu HaMilsa, they know the reason for this halacha. Umana, and who's that's a reference to? Rav Acha bar Yaakov, which the Gemara in Baba Basa tells us that he was from Papanoi. He explains that Amakra, the Pasuk says in Devarim, which this is in Perikei Pasuk Yedal, in the beginning, the Pasuk says, the Yemishvi Shabbos Lashem Akecha, the seventh day should be for Hashem your God, Loisazach HaMalacha, you shouldn't do any work. Ato Avincho Vitecha, you, your son, your daughter, Va'avdecha Va'masecha, your servant, your maidservant, V'sharicha V'chamercha, your ox and your donkey, V'chol Behem Techa, and all your animals, V'gecha Shebesharecha, and your convert and your gates. And then the Pasuk concludes, L'man Yenuach Avdecha Va'mascha Kamecha, so that your slave and your maidservant should rest like you. Now, says Rav Acha bar Yaakov, L'hanocha Hikashtev, it's only regarding resting on Shabbos that I have compared an Eved and an Amma, a slave and a maidservant and all humans, to your animals, meaning you can't have your humans work as your animals. However, but not for something else. It wasn't for any other prohibition. Specifically, it's being excluded from the halacha of klayim. So although the halacha of klayim, we learn that from the halacha of Shabbos, and therefore it includes all animals, like by Shvisas, Behemta includes all animals. And however, although the pasuk does compare humans of not doing work on Shabbos, your slave and your maidservant, to animals, but that's what the pasuk is coming to say, Laman Yenuach, Avdecha V'Amoscha, Kameicha, that what is it? Regarding Yenuach is where I'm comparing the Eved and the Amma to your behema. And that's why it repeats it again at the end of the pasuk when you already mentioned Avdecha V'Amoscha. So I tell you, only over here are they compared, but regarding Klayim, they're not going to be compared. With Halach of Klayim, only applies to animals, but not regarding a human, and that's why the Mishnah Masechta Klayim says that Adam Mutar Im Kulan Lach Resh V'Limshach.